Right now, it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page and those educational videos that we've all been forced to watch in school or even the armed forces. You know, the ones where a deep voice narrator warns us about everything from heart disease to the dangers of drug use.
Hank immediately recognizes the withdrawal symptoms in John. Nervousness, nausea, watering eyes, running nose. Too bad, but his pal Pete isn't around to fix him up. Hank needs every grain he has for his own fix. There's nothing to do but wait till Pete comes with more stuff. In the meantime, sweat it out, pal. You wanted kicks? Now pay the price.
And that's from an old 60s film called Narcotics, Pit of Despair. 2 weekends ago, Pat Morrison was sentenced to sit through nearly 6 hours of that kind of drama after she got a speeding ticket. Like any good student, she took notes, and like any good columnist, she turned the experience into a piece for her newspaper. Her review of Take Home Traffic School ran in last Thursday's editions of the Los Angeles Times. If you've suffered through instructional videos, call us with your reviews, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, or you can send reviews to our blog at npr.org/blog of the nation. Pat Morrison is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. She joins us from a studio at the paper. Nice to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Neil.
And you wrote it was the film equivalent of writing on the chalkboard 1,000 times, I will not speed, cut off other drivers, run red lights.
Well, I only did one of those things, but my arm was sure tired after watching this video. I might have preferred writing on the blackboard to watching nearly 6 hours of this kind of tedium, which is why I cried out for a film review.
Well, I take it you would not recommend a take-home traffic school for date night.
No, not unless you absolutely have to. Although I remember in school when we watched these film strips and these educational videos, and I think the boys were sucked in by the term strip, that there was a good deal of making out going in the back of the room, a lot of snogging while the teacher was fussing with the equipment.
You went to much more exciting schools than I did.
I was in the front. I was not in the back.
Yeah, that's – well, see, I was always in the front, so I never got into the back. But I wonder, at the DMV, were students ducking into the back of the room and passing notes?
I think that that's been done. But there's also a traffic school you can go to in person where they have comedians teaching them. So maybe people are snogging in the backs of those classrooms. I opted for the video version, and maybe I'm sorry.
The comedians teach this course? Talk about a tough crowd.
California, you know, it's very competitive. You know, you can either be a waiter or you can teach a traffic school hoping you're going to be discovered by some studio exec who was speeding his Porsche along Mulholland Drive.
At what point in this experience did you decide to write a review?
Oh, it must have been hour 5 when I thought I had to get something more out of this than punitive measures. And I thought that it really demanded some kind of California of Hollywood look at this.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did not get a comedian there in person. You did get Paula Zahn, though, in some dated pantsuits.
Paula Zahn was wearing the sort of pleated pants that you saw on remakes of The Brady Bunch and in the 1990s. I could have dated the film from that if I had no other material at all. But there were also 1990s GM cars crashing into one another. If this was product placement for GM, I don't think they did a very good job of it.
We want all those cars off the road, so why not? It's nevertheless, as you're going through this experience, does it seem to work? I mean, you said, tongue-in-cheek at the end, you'd rather drive safely than ever be forced to sit through any of this again. But does it get the message across?
I think it does. I think one of the points that the film tries to make is sneaking in little visuals to make sure you're paying attention, to make sure you're not off washing the dog or multitasking instead of watching the screen. So at one point during one segment, they were talking about driving in bad weather, and there were a few seconds of footage of a tornado, which, of course, I've never driven through, nor do I think many people have outside of Dorothy. But they asked, of course, on the test, was there a tornado in this? I thought, what does that have to do with safe driving? Obviously, they want you to pay attention.
Oh, it was very, in that movie, Twister, it was very important. You have to watch out carefully for those cows that'll fly past you.
That's true. It was the Helen Hunt Memorial sequence.
Our phone number, if you'd like to join our conversation, 800-989-8255. And Pat, you know, we were playing Narcotics, Pit of Despair, and your movie was from the 90s. In a lot of ways, these films never die.
They don't. They have a real permanence to them. When you think of the films you saw in junior high school, like You and Your Body, or America, My Country, Your Country, or Our Friend the Atom, those stay with you. I don't know whether it's because they're so horrific or because they are frozen in time. There's an eternity to them that only the greatest classic films can achieve, like Cecil B. DeMille and Gone with the Wind, things like that.
There's also there was in that whole Your Friend the Atom, there was the clueless sidekick whose job was to ask dumb questions.
Now, see, that works in the movies as well. It works on The Tonight Show. So why not have it in educational films?
Let's see if we get some callers on the line. Let's start with Janet. Janet's with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi.
Hi, Janet.
I'm real happy to be on NPR. I love you guys.
Thank you.
My film that I remember really vividly was in my sophomore year of high school in San Diego. And I don't remember the name, but it was about Don't Drive Fast, You Crazy Kids. And it was it featured twisted hulks, body parts, weeping mothers, and a sincerely grandfatherly announcer.
That was my part.
That's a great subgenre of these films like Red Asphalt and Blood Highway that you may have seen in high school and your children may yet see in high school. And they do leave an impression.
And yeah, well, it left an impression on me. I remember smoking a cigarette in the back of the room and getting an F in the course. So.
But and Janet, though, I suspect you're among the safest drivers in Arizona, though.
I am. I'm tremendously safe, and I don't smoke cigarettes anymore either.
Well, thank you very much for
it
the call.
It was educational after all.
See, it worked.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And Pat Morrison, Red Asphalt, you've made a study of this.
Well, there actually is. I found on Amazon after the fact there's a collection of some of these on a DVD, a very obscure DVD. But people have studied these for plot, for substance, for consistency, and I intend to enjoy myself watching some of them one of these days. Now that I don't have to do it by force. But you may remember in Woody Allen's film Love and Death, the soldiers who are about to go fight Napoleon. There's a little play that's staged for them about home leave, about how not to get syphilis. And afterwards, Woody Allen reviews it and says, the part of the prostitute was played with verve, although I thought the plot lacked a certain something.
And this is, I think we should have a festival. I think we should have, in Los Angeles, of course, is the perfect place.
I think this is absolutely the place. And we could group them, of course, by category. You've got the driving films, you've got the political films, the drug films. And then, of course, we can't forget the sex ed films. When you saw Daisies and Running Horses, you knew you were in for it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Sheila. Sheila with us from where? Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello. Well, this isn't really so much of an educational thing from like high school or anything, but I work as a nurse with South Coast Hospitals in New Bedford, Fall River, and Wareham.
Mm-hmm.
And it also happened to be the same hospital that I did all my clinicals in nursing school. And every time you orient to the hospital, you get put through this whole process of lectures and movies that we have to watch. So I've seen this thing like 3 or 4 times. And it's actually called The Power of the Magnet. And it's all about the MRI machine at the hospital. And it was really scary. Like, it was the most frightening thing. Everybody who watched it was like, oh, my God, I'm not going anywhere near that magnet. Because if you walked by and your keys flew out of your pocket, it would whack someone in the head. And these stories of wrenches flying across the magnet.
Now, what I did in the back of the class in high school because I couldn't get away with smoking cigarettes or snogging or anything like that, but I did one day accidentally put a staple through my cheek. If I walked past the magnet, though, it would rip it right out.
It would have flown right out in the magnet. I mean, this thing was scary. We all left. We're like, oh, my God, that thing is so frightening. It's the power of the magnet. Ugh. Anyway.
Thanks very much for the call, right. Sheila. And stay at the same hospital so you don't have to see the picture again.
Thank you.
And that's a scary thought, Pat Morrison. It's that, we thought we were through all of this when we got out of high school, only to discover that these films follow us into adult life.
I think they're trying to scare us into good behavior, and I think that whether it's about the MRI machine at a hospital or how you conduct yourself around medical waste or nuclear waste, if you work at a nuclear plant, I'm sure there's some equivalent of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about keeping us on the straight and narrow. And I think we should also ask whether people remember the animated films versus the real live person films, because I seem to remember some pretty hokey animation, and maybe this is where the Disney animator wannabes ended up doing educational films.
Well, it's it's also that I think there was a sort of combined, live action plus animation. I don't think our friend the Atom was played by any individual. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. I think I recognize Jonathan Winters under all that makeup.
That was the voice. That's different. But it's also, you're talking about this festival, and of course you have to give out awards, but who would get the director award? As you noted in your story, Alan Smithy would not put his name on this picture.
Alan Smithy is the name that directors use when they hated the product. They were disgusted with what came out the other end because of the studio or other factors. And it was one of those names, I think Richard Widmark started it. He wanted nothing to do with it. So Alan Smithy was the name they threw up as director. Alan Smithy would back away from this project. But who knows? Who knows what kind of honors might be in the offing?
Well, and you have to give the honors, you have to give them a name, like, the Oscars or the Césars or whatever. Would these be the Reefer Madness Awards? Or
I think that's a very good start. Educators is a little too boring. You couldn't get any sponsors for a show like that. But the Reefer Awards, now, I think that there you've got something.
Pat Morrison is with us. She writes a column for the Los Angeles Times. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Amy on the line. Amy's with us from Iowa City.
Hi.
Hi, Amy. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was just thinking as I was listening to your program of my husband and I recently went through a childbirth education class, and I think as part of showing how far we'd come, they showed as part of the class a training video produced by, I believe it was the U.S. military back in the 50s for women who were going to be experiencing childbirth, and it had absolutely nothing to do with childbirth. It showed this woman who didn't even look pregnant, and she was packing her cosmetics for the hospital so that she would look pretty, and also all it covered regarding the childbirth experience was that she would be restrained for her own comfort and safety. And it was absolutely terrifying.
So very little of the he stuff.
Right, exactly. It was just some sort of miraculous process occurred and you got to leave the hospital with a child. But as long as your makeup was okay, apparently that's all you needed to know.
And was there some line in this that said something along the lines of, "And Dad, be sure to bring an extra pack of cigarettes in case you have to wait"?
Yes, it was exactly in that tone. It was very scary.
Thanks very much, Amy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking about the, the fact is the director of this take-home driver's video that you watched, Pat Morrison, would not put the name on. But this is a genre that could attract some named talent. You suggested that maybe Michael Moore's next picture.
I think Michael Moore with his faux confrontational or real confrontational approaches would work. He's so disingenuous about walking up to people with his gee whiz idea. He could stick a microphone in the window of a car that's just been pulled over for running a red light, for example. Gosh, did you really mean to do that? Did you really know what would happen? Of course, then there are also some other people like Ken Burns in whose hands this might turn into a real saga.
Well, the 5 hours you had to watch would turn out to be episode one.
It would all be done in sepia tones, I think.
Well, lots of panning across stills. Anyway, let's see if we can get Mark on the line. Mark's with us from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, hi. I had a film that we watched in junior high school that was called Primitive Pete, and it was a cartoon. And it basically what it was the guy in the character in the cartoon would use pipes on the end of wrenches and pipe wrenches for hammers, and it was basically to tell you not to do this type of stuff or you're going to get hurt.
Primitive Pete.
Yeah.
Cartoon. And this is something that has stayed with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that particular one, I remember it vividly. He was always using things wrong and hurting himself.
Was this a shop class?
Yep, junior high school shop class. There was also another one, but I can't remember the name of it, and it was to use your safety glasses, and what happened was the guy in the film ended up having a grinding wheel explode and got shards of the grinding wheel in his eye.
And what was this film rated? It sounds pretty violent.
Yeah, it was. They actually had they actually showed an eye operation pulling the shards of this grinding wheel out of his eyes, and it was this was a different one. I don't remember what the name of this one was, but that was another one that really stayed with me. That whenever you're in any type of a machine shop or woodworking place, you should always wear your safety glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Quentin Tarantino directed that one.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty violent.
And this takes up space in your brain that might otherwise have been devoted to, Chaucer?
Yeah, maybe.
Mark, but it has stayed with him all this time.
It stuck, which suggests, and Mark, thanks very much for the call, yeah. which suggests that this medium and, in fact, this style of film, perhaps through unintended hilarity or other such dramatic techniques, this does have a way to reach people.
Maybe the sheer hokiness of it, in contrast with the sophistication of storytelling nowadays, makes it stand out the way that black and white commercials have begun making a point because color commercials can't do it.
Can't do it. It was fascinating. I was watching a ball game from Canada the other day, and just the thrill of watching Canadian TV ads was just great.
It's a good thing you had a vacation.
It's a good thing I had a vacation. Pat Morrison, thanks very much. And are you going to drive safely from now on?
I'm going to drive very slowly from here to my next destination.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
And by the way, the film that she had to watch, Take Home Traffic Spool, was rated 2.5 radials by Pat Morrison, our guest who writes a column for the Los Angeles Times. We have a link to her review of Take Home Traffic Spool at npr.org/blogofthenation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
Talk of the Nation is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can purchase transcripts of stories you hear on this program, visit our website, npr.org, and click on transcripts at the top of the page. This is NPR.